94. All right, we talked last time closing. We spent the whole time with the verse 19 main in the main. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. So we went off kind of chasing some things around about our thoughts and just the thoughts of man and the thoughts of God. Back in verse 11, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of man that they are vanity. So we spent some time with that. And in the end, again, this is one of the verses that is one of my favorite verses. It has given me comfort on many occasions. But in the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. And then down in verse 20, we got so far as to talk about, shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with thee, which frameth mischief by law? And so that led us to a little study in Revelation about, you know, there comes a day in the Great Tribulation when Satan literally has a seat on this earth. That's the Antichrist and so on and so forth. So we're talking about that a little bit. And there was yet a little bit more to cover on something that it revolves around. Shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with thee, which frameth mischief by law? And you'll see the framing of mischief by law. So some of the laws that are passed are framed in mischief, and they must come from somewhere than besides here. Because we're talking here about the throne of iniquity. Well, the throne of iniquity is ultimately, you know, sat upon by Satan, right? So let me remind you of a couple of things, and sometimes folks get a funny idea about this world, and I assure you, you're not going to improve it much because he's the king of it. Tell your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, and I know we covered this verse last time, but we've got to go back and get this just a minute. In 4:6, Jesus Christ on the Mount of Temptation, of course, and it says in verse 6, the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them. Well, that's the kingdoms of the world, verse 5, in a moment of time. So Jesus is given the view of the kingdoms of the world all in a one, you know, one download. And it says, for that is delivered unto me. Now that's Satan talking. And to whomsoever I will, I give it. Now, without having to argue about the fact that, okay, God is sovereign in the sense that he is ultimately, he's the God of gods. And ultimately, he controls and he can sort out the devil's mess that he makes. But it's also true that he's turned the kingdoms of this world over to the devil. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And I know this is fairly rudimentary for maybe some of you, but it's not something that the average Christian hears on a regular basis or anything like that. And so it's important to just make sure that we know that there's an awful lot of Bible involved with this. And again, with the thought that you're only going to improve the kingdoms that are controlled by the devil so much before it's going to, you're going to come into a brick wall. And so what you should be focusing on is what you do control, what you are, what you yourself are in and what's in you. That's the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. It's not a physical kingdom. It has nothing to do with a throne unless you talk about a spiritual throne in your own heart, right? And so there's a limitation. Believe me, I've voted in every election and all those things. And, you know, it's easy to have an interest in it for me, too, without getting overworked about it. But, you know, to concentrate and act as if it's part of the Christian mandate, part of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus to make this world a better place, you got to be really careful with that. As far as making the world a better place, fine, I lead my neighbor to Christ, and he's better off than he was, and yes, we are the light of the world, we're the salt of the earth, and we can have effect as long as you affect things spiritually. But it has to be by the power of God. It's not going to be about votes. It's not going to be about, you know, which a branch of the military you join to make a difference there. It's going to be what you do, what you accomplish spiritually. It's about pursuing the high calling of God in the kingdom of God. And so, oh yeah, it's 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, just to remind you that when we're talking about the God of this world, it's ultimately God is in control, and the Lord controls how short the devil's leash is. That's certainly true. But in whom, verse 4, the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Okay, so that small g God of this world is not the God of heaven. That's the devil. Now there's a ton of stuff to take a look at, and I know, and a lot of these are familiar verses, but Ephesians chapter 6 real fast, and you probably can start the passage before I even get to it, but still, sometimes, you know, we have a tendency not to quote or think about a verse that we know in its full context of all that it entails. And so in Ephesians 6, verse 12, notice we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness. Now, it's of this world. It's of this world. There's something wrong with this world. There's something wrong with who's in charge of this world. And a change of presidents or kings, unless the king is Jesus Christ at the millennium, a change of presidents, a change of kings, a change of a politics is ultimately not going to fix the things of this world. You're called to pursue the things of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is in you, and you are in it. Praise the Lord. But as far as affecting the kingdoms of this world, your effect is very limited, and you're going to be grossly disappointed. Because if you can lift it any, it's going to fall right back down the tube. It's just that way. How many times has, okay, the right guy, the right guy, gotten elected to the Senate or to the Congress or to the presidency, and still everything falls off the table and goes crash, right? And the reason why is because the kingdoms of this world are controlled by entities that aren't godly. You'll notice in verse 12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, okay, the principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Don't forget what it said in verse 11. You need to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Don't you think one of the wiles of the devil in light of this would be to get you super involved, super obsessed with trying to improve things here? See, we're all for helping somebody out. We're all for charity as the world thinks about charity. But you're not going to turn the world around by charity. You're going to turn, if the world gets turned, you're going to have to get them in the kingdom of God and the kingdom of God in them before anything's going to be affected. Because don't forget, before this is all over, this whole world burns up. And that's even after. Don't forget that Jesus Christ rules in the millennium for 1,000 years, the perfect, sinless, totally just king, never doing an injustice to anybody. And at the end of the millennium, the Lord unbinds the devil for a brief time, and he's got men in rebellion against the Lord Jesus Christ. Bam! Right? So what's wrong? What's wrong is you. What's wrong is the heart of man. And what's wrong is even with the devil bound, things go to hell in a handbasket. And right now, don't look now, but the devil's not bound. So again, you know, if there's tremendous hope, if it becomes an obsession for anybody that you're really going to make a difference from a couple Sundays ago, make a difference in this life, in this world, the best you can do is get somebody saved or instruct somebody in the kingdom of God and get them to grow spiritually. Right? Now, look in Revelation 11. Revelation 11. Revelation chapter 11. And down in verse 15. Now this is the end of the, it's the end of the great tribulation. So the beginning of the millennium. And the seventh angel sounded, verse 15, there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. So whose kingdoms were they then before the beginning of the millennium? Well, it wasn't the Lord's kingdom. It wasn't Jesus Christ's kingdom. It was somebody else's kingdom, right? So let's just be careful that you stay in balance. Isaiah 24. Isaiah 24. The more I thought about this, the more verses that came to mind. Isaiah 24. And this relates to that Ephesians 6 passage about principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. This is talking about the second advent of Christ with the earth being broken down and dissolved, the earth reeling to and fro, verse 20, verse 21. It shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall punish the host of the high ones that are on high. Now those are the principalities and powers that rule the darkness of this world. So he has to come back and punish them before anything changes. And then he has to sit down on a throne and reign before anything changes. And then even after that, it falls apart because it turns out that man's wicked, right? Look, if you will, in Daniel 10. Just look at this. Daniel 10. Now, I'm not berating people. Vote. Be a patriot and all those things, but when those things start taking priority over your walk with God and your relationship with Jesus Christ, you're doing your Savior an injustice because he's not really out to change this world. He has to stomp it and take it over with a rod of iron before it changes. And then he rules it, and it's not a problem for him to rule it, but by the time it's over, the devil gets back out, and in basically no time stirs back up a rebellion of sinful man again. And from that point, it's all burned up, right? White throne judgment, we start over in eternity. But the simple point is that you just got to be careful because, everybody's out to lead you down a different path. They want to get you rooted and grounded in this world. They want your feet set here. They want your thoughts to be lateral, not horizontal, not vertical. They want you thinking this way instead of this way. And you think the devil doesn't know that that's really the secret? It's for you to set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. That you shouldn't be thinking about the kingdoms of this world. You should be thinking about the kingdom of God, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You think the devil, who has known man for all this time, doesn't know that he's got you if he can just get you thinking horizontally too much, right? Daniel chapter 10. Daniel 10. And I bring this up just to show that there is this extraordinary spiritual interest in the affairs down here. And they're not interested in any of the affairs on Pluto or some other planet somewhere that somebody thinks might be inhabited. No, they're interested in here because here is all there is. The Lord's going to deal with the sin problem here, and then it can expand. But this is all there is here as far as an inhabitable place to live in this universe. And it's showing you that these principalities and powers, these rulers, of the darkness have an extraordinary interest in the affairs of men here, because the devil is out to contain as much power as he can. And so you find Daniel praying, and this man comes to Daniel, Daniel saw a vision, verse 7, and verse 5, I lifted up my eyes, behold, a certain man clothed in linen. This is plainly not just a normal man, mortal man. This is plainly an angel of the Lord. And you'll notice down in verse 13, this man comes to address Daniel, who's been praying. Then said he, verse 12, unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to an understand to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy word. So I've been dispatched. He's a spiritual entity. I've been dispatched from God to help you out. Verse 13, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. Okay, now that's saying that some other spiritual entity that's somehow connected with Persia withstood this angel that was coming to talk to Daniel. The important thing there is there's a connection to a kingdom in this world by a spiritual entity. The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me. Well, what's Persia got to do with a devil or a demon? A prince, some fallen dark prince. What's it got to do with anything? Apparently, and we don't know how exactly it works, but apparently the kingdoms of this world do have spiritual representation of some sort. And we don't know, again, we don't know how that's administrated exactly, other than it's under the devil. But he says, the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days, but lo, Michael, one of the chief princes. So that's how I know that these princes are spiritual entities. That's Michael the archangel, right? Came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Going down to verse 20. Then said he, knowest thou that, wherefore I am come unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. So intertwined with all stuff that's happening down here, let's face it, politically, there are other entities spiritually that are involved with that. Now, I don't know exactly how all that works, but I know this. If you ever get to the White House or the throne room, there's a lot going on behind the scenes. It's spiritual stuff, and it's pretty spooky, pretty scary, right? I wanted to show you, if I could, in chapter 12, verse 1, it mentioned Michael. Well, Michael in particular, 12:1, at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people. So the children of Israel have a particular prince. His name is Michael. He's called an archangel. And so again, you have angels and principalities, princes, and spiritual entities involved, politically, I guess is one word, but in the physical kingdoms of this world. Now, just let me take you to one more thing I wanted to show you this. Daniel chapter 4. Daniel 4. And man is really cocky because he thinks that he's running stuff. And man ain't running nothing. For instance, Daniel chapter 4 and verse 26. Now, Nebuchadnezzar has this dream about this tree being hewn down. The tree is him. And Daniel says, you need to get right and serve God and quit thinking so highly of yourself. And maybe you can extend your tranquility a little longer. But what I wanted to show you is down in verse 20, what is this, 25. So Nebuchadnezzar, spiritual entities, they shall drive thee, Nebuchadnezzar, from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen. They shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men. Okay, the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men. So ultimately, God is the power to be dealt with, right? But he's the God of gods. So all those small g gods will eventually fall under him. But just notice, it doesn't stop there, because it says in verse 26, and whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee. After that shalt thou have known that the heavens do rule. It doesn't say there that God alone rules. Underneath God, there are principalities and powers. The heavens do rule. So, no matter what you do, you're only going to affect the betterment of this world only so much. That's the whole point, right? So, the devil has great power. These kingdoms are wrenched from his grasp by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And not till then. And none of your votes matter on that part. Now, with that, maybe it's worthwhile to pursue just for a second what happened with the devil. Because what a lot of folks don't realize is that the devil has multiple phases of him being cast down. For instance, in Isaiah chapter 14, you have Satan. The first we really know of this specifically from the Word of God, Isaiah 14, and again, I know that a lot of you know this is rudimentary and you know it, but Isaiah chapter 14 and go down to verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? How does he weaken the nations if he has no control of them? Are y'all okay? Y'all are kind of quiet. For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend unto heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Okay, and from this juncture, Satan is fallen. Look in Ezekiel 28. There's two key places where it talks about this. Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28. And it talks about this as if it were talking about a man, a king. But it's not a king. It's Satan being addressed, Lucifer. There was not a king named Lucifer. Okay, it's the devil. In this case, notice he's addressing him through the king of Tyrus. Verse 12, son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, saying to him, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. The king of Tyrus has been in the garden of Eden? No, that was the devil. Right? Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardis, topaz, and the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, and the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared for thee or in thee? In thee. The devil was a living musical instrument. Wonder what one of the first things that fell when he fell with him. Verse 13 at the end. The workmanship of thy tablets and of thy pipes were prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. He's a created being. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. In Ezekiel, there are four cherubs, one on each corner of the throne, right? Of the platform of the throne. There used to be a fifth cherub. He was the anointed cherub that covered. And so he desired to be above the stars of God, and the Lord cast him down because of his pride. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. And you can read in Ezekiel where those cherubims go in and they gather, they get fire from under that altar, from under that throne. Verse 15, thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created, till iniquity was found in thee. So one day iniquity was found in him. By the multitude of thy mercy, merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence. Thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. And I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. He booted him out of that picture with those four cherubims on the four corners. He booted him. He pulled him down off his perch and threw him down. And so the devil's still mad about it. You say, you really believe that? It sounds crazy. That's one of those crazy things that you need comfort in your faith about. Because you stop and think about it. Okay, so there's this throne in heaven with God sitting on it. And there's four-faced, there's four-faced cherubs, one on each corner. And they have wheels beside them. I think those wheels are like whirlwinds. And there used to be one on top. And he got proud, and so he got pitched down. And he's the one that's caused all this mess. Yeah, with a little help from you. Right? It's crazy. It's kind of crazy. But man is solid. Solid. And it's better than us being planted here by outer spacemen. Which is what Dworkin's believed. Anyway. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Oh, he was beautiful too. Perfect in beauty, wiser than Daniel. He was pretty. And he was a musician. You ever notice that musicians live skanky lives? In general. I don't mean somebody that's doing what we do here. I'm talking about the dirtbag musicians of the world, right? I mean, don't look to Bob Dylan for a virtuous life or anything. Right? Anyway, whatever. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom. Corrupted thy wisdom. Oh boy, that's why we're in a mess. That's why the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. Because he's imparted it here. The devil's imparted it here. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before the kings and that they may behold thee. So, the first thing you can say is that the devil was first of all pitched, was pulled down, cast out, cast down from an exalted spiritual position. That much is true. We can say that with some safety. He still ruled in the kingdoms of men, and Jesus Christ stood with him on the Mount of Transfiguration or Mount of Temptation, and he said, I've shown you all these kingdoms of the world in a moment of time, and these are all mine, and I can give them to whoever I will. So bow down and worship me, and you can have them. And the Lord said, no, I'm going to get them anyway. I'm going to bust you to get them. But he had them to give. So he fell from his exalted spiritual throne, and what was given to him was the ability to still travel to heaven to appear before God. He can also appear on earth and tempt Job, right? And he wreaked havoc all the way through the Old Testament. I know he's still wreaking havoc here, but he shows up after he falls. He shows up in a garden with Eve. So he has access both here and there. So the spiritual wickedness is still in high places spiritually. He has access here and he has access there. Now, something happened when Christ came, however. Look in Luke chapter 10. So there are phases to Satan's fall. And gradually he's going to, in these stages, become limited more and more. He gradually has more and more power removed. Luke chapter 10, go down to verse 17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. He said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Now, I believe he's still prophesying here about a future day when Satan will fall from heaven and be limited here on earth. But you can at least see there that there is some spiritual limitation. Look in John 12. John 12. Christ coming up to Calvary. Now is the judgment of this world, verse 31. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. So at Calvary, the devil's power was limited somewhat, at least. Let me keep going here. It's chapter 16, John. John 16, 11. The Holy Spirit's going to come in verse 8 and reprove the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Of sin, verse 9, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. So he at least got judged, and he got limited. Look in Hebrews chapter 2. He's more limited now than he was before. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. For as much then as the children of are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, Christ did, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. So Christ died for our sins, and now you don't have to die in your sins. If you have eternal life, you're going to have eternal life. Amen. I don't know about you, but I have eternal life now. So the devil has no power over that. Verse 15, and deliver them who through the fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Colossians, back to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians 1, verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet, so seemly, fitting, to be partakers. We're now by the blood of Christ, you are fit to be a partaker with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Moses, and David. It's meet. It's now fitting. It wouldn't have been before, right? So, verse 12, he made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Well, you know what's involved with that. You were a child of the devil. You were in the kingdom of the devil. You were bound in that darkness, and now you're not. Okay? That's a limitation of what the devil has power to do in your life. So boy, somebody that's not saved is really badly vulnerable. I mean, talk about somebody that's, you know, out without any clothes on, without a shield. I mean, you're vulnerable. At least, I mean, we're physically vulnerable, but he can't do anything to me spiritually. He can't change my spiritual trajectory into heaven, my standing. Colossians 2, a page over. Colossians 2, verse 15, where it says, well, let's start with verse 14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances, that's the law that was against us, which was contrary to us, took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross, and having spoiled principalities and powers. So, the principalities and powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, were spoiled as far as their power over us. Having spoiled the principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Now, the devil is still the god of this world, and he still has great control and power, and the kingdoms have not been all turned back over to the Lord yet. But as far as our lives are concerned, spiritually, we're free from that. And so don't ever get thinking that the life that you have in Christ is anything like the life that some lost guy in Coon Rapids has. Because it's not like that at all. So Satan was cast out from above the throne. His domain was limited then. His domain was limited. He can get to heaven. He can stand before God still in Job. He can tempt Eve in the garden. And he can be down here and still help run the things of this world. That much is true. One day there's another fall. Look in Revelation chapter 12. Revelation 12. It's coming up real near the time where the devil's going to take another tumble and be limited. Because in Revelation 12, verse 10, again, this would be in the middle of the Great Tribulation. And I heard, well, let's start with verse 9, and the great dragon, so that is the devil, was cast out, that old serpent, called the devil and Satan. There can be no mistake about who it is. Okay, he's cast out, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth. So in that day, he will no longer have access to heaven. He will no longer have access to make it up, to talk to the Lord about getting permission to tempt somebody like Job. There's coming a day that he's had access all this time, and he's no longer going to be a principality in power on high. He's no longer going to be the dragon, the Leviathan, the beast in the deep. He's going to be down here. He's going to be limited here with vengeance, particularly for one lady, Israel. Verse 10, I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. So he'll be limited down here for a brief time. Just a couple more steps. Jesus Christ comes back in Revelation 19. In Revelation 20, the devil takes another tumble. Revelation 20, verse 1, I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan. So there's no mistake about who he was. And bound him 1,000 years. Cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed for a little season. So in that day, he's limited to the lake of fire. He's chained and bound. And finally, in Revelation chapter 20, verse 10, but before that, the devil gets out of the bottomless pit. He's released. And like I said, he raises up immediately. I mean, it's an immediate thing. He doesn't have to go at it for 200 years trying to build a rebellion, a revolt. Apparently, it happens kind of on the fly. And a bunch of the fleshly human beings that will still be down here in the millennium, having been ruled and reigned over by the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the virtuous, pure Jesus Christ, who never did wrong to anybody and never will, they're going to still immediately turn on him and demand the life of this Jewish king. They want to kill him again. Well, it's not going to happen. Verse 8, and shall go out and deceive the nations, this is the devil, which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. They went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about, the beloved city, it's Jerusalem, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. I mean, and at the beginning of the millennium, the Lord Jesus Christ comes through and tramples them, just trounces them, squashes their blood. And the next rebellion at the end of the millennium, the Lord just says, and there's burnt. And with that is burned, of course, the heavens and the earth, and the elements melt with fervent heat. Then there's the great white throne judgment. But, verse 10, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are. So the trinity of the devil is back together, all together forever, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. So the devil falls from heaven. He has access to heaven, and here he then is fallen spiritually further, limited spiritually further by the work of Jesus Christ. That still goes through today, although he still has power over the kingdoms of this earth. And so that's why you shouldn't get overoccupied with the kingdoms of this earth. One day soon enough, rapture hits, the tribulation, and the devil's going to be cast out into the earth, which will be the limit of his realm. Then he'll be cast into hell, and then he'll be cast finally into the lake of fire. And the happy ending of the story goes on forever and ever. Any questions or comments?